We're really excited to be sharing this morning something that we've spent quite a bit of time on over the course of this year. And I guess we had a sense over the last little while that we've been lacking a little bit in terms of big picture language to help kind of define and shape who we are as a community. You might remember maybe 4 years ago we talked a little bit about DNA as a church, and then more recently we've been talking about five things that we felt God was asking us to major on together. But what's been lacking has kind of been a level above all of that in terms of finding language to describe who we are as a community and what we exist for, so that when we move, it's kind of flowing out of something concrete that we can all come back to together. Admittedly, in many ways, church vision statements appear on the surface to be a little bit of a waste of time, because every church really should hopefully have the same vision at its heart, right? We exist for that same purpose, that Matthew 28 kind of stuff, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations and all of that. That's what the church exists for, and we can't take away from that. But if we take that as assumed, as kind of base, then a vision statement for a church can actually be particularly helpful in clarifying the particular sense of call of that community as they listen to the voice of Jesus there among them, as they are obedient to him, and as they seek to follow him out into the world. If you'd arrived any time in the last 5 years, then you probably wouldn't be aware of what has been the church vision statement up until this point, helping people become lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with that statement. That literally sums up the mission of the church in a sentence. It's perfect for that. But I guess in the last couple of years, we've wanted to try and think of ways that we could be a bit more specific in the way that a statement like this could help shape something more of who we are for the years ahead. So we began to kind of prayerfully work on how God has been kind of leading us and shaping us as a community over the last little while, and trying to find some language to put expression to that. So this morning is like the first public airing of all of that. This is stuff that we've been working on, we've been honing. It's been sent out to ministry leaders, and we've got their feedback on it, and we've kind of changed it and done multiple revisions as a result. And where we are now, we feel like we're probably about 95% there. This is kind of 95% language of where we want to be. But at the same time, I guess we're wanting to say this morning that this is a living document. This is something that we want to invite the church into, because ultimately words on a page are just words on a page, and they only become real when they're lived out, when they're practiced by us as a community. So that's what we're wanting to hopefully, I guess, share and give you a sense of this morning as we kind of enter into the space together. So all of that being said, after all of that hype and build-up, here's where we have got to with this. Called together to grow and go. This is a Trinitarian statement. There's three parts to it. Called together to grow and to go. And next year, I'm going to spend three Sundays covering off each of these parts with a sermon. But this morning, we just thought that we'd take kind of 5 minutes to look at each of them. And Julie and Kate are going to join me up here, and we're each going to share on one of these together. So Julie's going to come and talk first for us about what it means to be called together.
Thanks, Tim. So it is really exciting. It's really good to be up here to share with you. And as Tim said, I'm Julie. If you don't know who I am, one of the pastors here. And we would like to share the following with you. Called together. We cannot be the church on our own. The call to follow Jesus is a calling to a community shaped for and around him. At Central Baptist, our heart is to be a big whānau of many different cultures and stages of life. We are called to be the church together. And from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. As Tim said, it's a really exciting journey that we're on, and we're called by God to grow as just one body, as a church family together, where our diversity and our unity, they bind us together, where we can celebrate both our diversity and our unity as one body in Christ. Because each of us, we're interconnected and we're interdependent, functioning as just as God wants us to be. If we hold this deep desire for our whole body to work as this beautiful creation that God has created us to be, it can only be a wonderful, wonderful journey. One that requires all of us, pastors, elders, grandparents, kids, parents, students, workers, retirees, to be really intentional about our thinking, our mindset, where our hearts are positioned. Now we get to stretch our arms right out wide, and we get to move together to make sure that, you know, we just don't leave anyone behind. We get to learn and grow as one body and be part of an amazing love for one another, our desired outcome is driven by this amazing love. You know, we get to look out. I wish I could go like that. Lose the mic, and then look in to remember that it's about us, it's about all of us, where we have intentional considerations and truly value inclusion across all our beautiful cultures and all our generations, where we see our whole body. You know, when we close our eyes and think of our church here at CB, we will think, have we included everyone? Is anyone not here? It challenges us to new and exciting ways of thinking and of living if we're truly going to embrace the posture of having both unified and diversified, of being both unified and diversified, as one body. We need to be intentional about the language we use. It's about us and we and our intentionality about all we do, from events, programs, Sunday morning services. It's looking at those around us and asking ourselves, are we all seated at the table? So we want to continue on our journey together. We want to be leading from a position of valuing and asking all our voices to be heard, young, old, and in between, from those who are born here in Aotearoa to those who are born in countries afar, because we are all part of the beautiful body of Christ, and we all have a really rich role to play.
Thanks, Julie. So when we're talking about growing together, we're using this passage out of Ephesians, where Paul's talking to the church there. So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And so with that, we're wanting to say that to grow together means that we're passionate about people finding their identity in Jesus, and that at Central Baptist we prioritize Christian formation, that we encourage one another in the journey of Christian discipleship, and that through the work of the Holy Spirit in each one of us, we grow in the image of Christ together. I guess the second part of this, it's all about discipleship. This is the discipleship part of things, which I guess is the basic calling of the church, helping people to encounter Jesus and to provide a space where they can grow in becoming a little bit more like him. It's what Paul is talking about to the Ephesians there. He's talking a vision to that church where he's not just content with people kind of being where they are, but he wants to see the body of Christ, the whole church, being built up until they reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and in order that they become mature. People can put down strong roots, Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, that they need to be those who are not blown around but are able to grow. When we're talking about discipleship, we're not talking about a class that you can take, although learning is a part of discipleship. Discipleship isn't just about knowing a certain bunch of things really, really well. It's about how those things shape your everyday life and who you really are as a person. Discipleship is the work of the Spirit in us to make us more like Jesus. And in that sense, everything that we do as a church, it comes back to this. You know, spaces like this one that we're in this morning are discipleship spaces. You know, the language of the songs that we've sung, the prayers that we've prayed, testimony of God's work, scriptures being opened, all of that is discipleship stuff. But then also the shape of this space itself, if we take a step back again, how we do church, the things that we include in spaces like this or choose not to, the voices that we invite in, all of that stuff is formational kind of discipleship sort of stuff. It's participating in community. It's in the relationships that we share with each other, as Julie has just been saying. And it's also, as Kate's about to talk about, in what we do when we head out into the world to follow Jesus there as well. Discipleship is a practiced reality. So with this language, I guess we're wanting to reaffirm that discipleship is central to who we are as a church, that it's the reason for us to exist. We want to be deliberate in this area as a community. We want to find ways to introduce people to Jesus from new Christian courses, things like Christianity Explored or Alpha, things like that, through to conversations about the shape of what happens when we get together in spaces like this one here this morning, through to our participation in different formative spaces in the life of our church, like life groups and things like that, over coffees, around meal tables in each other's homes. There's lots of ways that we are going to be trying to press into this next year and in the years ahead as well. I guess we're wanting to say that we want to push as a community into maturity and growth. We don't want to be stale. We don't want to be stagnant. Each one of us can continue to grow in the image of Jesus. That's what growing together is all about. And so, Kate.
Good morning, church. I've got some wires. Hold on. Sorry about that. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." At Central Baptist, we believe that following Jesus has an essential lived out quality, that all of us are sent to join in the work of God in our world, from our neighborhoods across Aotearoa, New Zealand, and the world. We're excited about empowering our community for this purpose. We are sent to serve the mission of God together. In my Bible, next to this passage of Acts 1, verse 8, is a note, and the note says, "Kisumu 2011, the Holy Spirit gives you power and makes you bold." Kisumu is an area in Kenya that I had a privilege to spend some time in, and I remember that I felt empowered to live out the gospel, that because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, I could be challenged to see the world with eyes wide open, to be brave, to love, and to serve. I remember learning, really learning, that Jesus loves everyone and that all of humanity was created in the image of the Lord. So when I think about that lived out quality of joining in God's work in the world, I think about what does it mean to be a witness, to step outside of our comfort zones for the sake of people who don't yet know Jesus, to step outside of our comfort zones to say hi to someone we don't know yet or who's from a different culture, who looks different to us and talks different to us. to go into the office and school, and when someone asks you about your weekend, that you confidently but gently talk about what you learned at church and what you love about being part of this church family. That just like in the early church in Acts 1 verse 8, we as a community, we want to be telling the forever, always narrative that we are a family that is sent and goes where God leads us. God's mission to call all things back to him, to build his kingdom of faithful followers of Jesus, that we are privileged to join in that work that he is doing in our world. That it's not just a mission for overseas, but it's for home, it's for school, it's for work, it's for next door, it's down the street, in the square, you name it, it's there. Across New Zealand and across the wider world, it's the lived out, everyday lifestyle of serving God wherever we are. We want our story as a church family to be about what Christianity stands for and stands with, that we stand for the left out, the marginalized, the voice for the voiceless, the lonely, the poor. That we are kind and compassionate and compelled to hope more for others, our earth, and ourselves than what the world is currently selling and rarely delivering. To go together, part of our and God's hopes and dreams for this community is faith in action. We're saying that we don't want to be and don't believe that God is asking us to be a passive community. That it's not just about in here, but it's about out there as well. As CB, we want to make sure that the sent part of the Christian faith is being witnesses to Christ, right at the heart of who we are.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. So, we got this three-part kind of vision statement, and that's what is out there in front of us. It's kind of what we see as some of the shape of our community going forward. And at the same time, we've been working along with some values to carry along with us as well. I guess if the vision statement is like the destination, then the values is kind of talking about how we get there. It's the rules of the game. It's what we carry with us along the way. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about each of these right now. Again, want to touch on them in sermons next year, but just to kind of give you a bit of a sense of where we're at with this. Firstly, a value for people of worship and prayer. And we say they're recognizing our deep need for God. We place him at the center of everything that we do. This is about learning again what it means to be a dependent community, a community that has to learn to trust in and to rely on God for its future together. When we're talking about worship, we're talking about everything from what we're doing here this morning, the songs that we sing, to the lives that we go out and live. Paul in Romans, this is your proper act of worship. Offer your lives as a living sacrifice. And then with prayer up there, we're wanting to say that a prayerful community is one that knows that its life depends on God. If we're not on the journey to becoming a more prayer-filled community, then we're heading in the opposite direction of being the church. So a people of worship and prayer, it's about making sure that God is put in his place and we are put in ours. We put gospel-centered living in there as well. We love the Bible, God's big story. Within it, we find context and shape for our lives. This is about saying, if it wasn't clear already, that the Bible holds a special status for us as a community. We want to acknowledge that the Bible is a complex book, that it's filled with many different genres of literature, that it's written across centuries, but that through it all, there is a thread that is woven of the story of God's work in our world. We want to affirm that the Bible is a text that speaks to us today, that it is living, that God uses it to shape us and to teach us more about what he is like. And so the opening of Scripture is always going to be right at the heart of who we are as a church. Thirdly, a depth of relationship. We are a big family where grace and truth are shared in love. And this kind of flows out from the vision statement in some ways, but it's about saying that we're a community that wants to go deep with one another. We're not happy with surface level interaction. We want to get stuck in. We want to be a church where vulnerability is welcomed and where it is encouraged as well, where people are able to share their burdens and their struggles along with the joys and the celebrations. It's like Paul says as well in his letter to the Romans, you know, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We want to be a big family where grace and truth are shared in love. And then finally, a heart to serve. We have joy in serving each other and our world. You know, in that upside down kind of kingdom that Jesus speaks about and acts into existence, he says that serving one another and the love that sits behind it is central to all of that happening, really. It's what Jesus himself comes to do, to serve. And so we want to be a community who serve and love one another and then go and do that for our world as well. We want that to be right at the heart of who we are. So, vision statement, four values there. We're working to produce what looks like a kind of one-page sort of document that will be sort of accessible to everyone in the community. It will also include a formal statement of beliefs, which is what is referenced in the church constitution. The elders are working to kind of tighten up some of the language in that space there. But I guess what we're wanting to say is to expect to start seeing this language in different places around our community. Expect to see it popping up from time to time. Expect to see it out there in the foyer. Expect to see it referenced from the front. Expect to see it on new welcome packs when we work on getting that stuff done, on the website. All of those things. Expect to see this language used to articulate and to talk about who we are as a church in the year and in the years ahead. But at the same time, to say again, we're hoping that this isn't just language that is something on a piece of paper that you look at or something that you walk past in the foyer out there, but it's going to be something that you're going to take on board and that you will join us in living it out together. It's only words on a page until we come together and we give shape to it, we give life to it with who we are. And so we're wanting to invite you into it. Part of the flow on from our leadership retreat this year, we had three kind of things that kind of flowed out of our conversations in the space that we're wanting to work on and that we'd like to invite you into as well. First one, it's not going to be a surprise, it's life groups. Yeah, thank you. I'll take that clap, Madeline. We keep talking about life groups up here. We keep saying that we want them to be a priority, that we want everyone in our community to be part of a life group. We're going to keep on talking about it until it's true. And so next year, we're putting pastoral hours into this alongside awesome people like the Shores who've been running life group leader training this year and hopefully will do again next year, just checking that, yep, two thumbs up from Elizabeth, awesome. We want to keep pushing into this. We want to see our community be one where people find a sense of belonging in smaller groups where they can go deeper with one another. So we really want to push into life groups. Secondly, around Sundays and the welcoming space, we want to work on putting better processes in place to enable people to find pathways into the life of our community. We want new people to not walk away feeling like they haven't been met. We want them to know that our community is accessible, that there's ways into it, that there are things for them to be involved with and to get amongst. And so we're going to be working to help kind of build capacity in that area. Kate's going to be working in that space to help sort of reimagine what, I guess, a Sunday morning kind of experience in the foyer could look like. And so, again, something we want to invite you into. If you've got a heart for hospitality, if you've got a heart for the stranger, for the other, we'd love you to come and be a part of some of that. So put your hand up when we talk about it in the year ahead. And then finally, we want to talk a bit more about hospitality. And this is really looking at the way that we work together as a church community, the way that we draw together as a church community. We're looking at a couple of different programs and initiatives that we might run next year. There's some opportunities next year for us to come together as a church for conversations together. We want to kind of move ahead on that. And then the things that we do well, the chances we have to have fun together as a community, the quiz night, things like that. We want to major on those again next year too. So three things there. Life groups, if If you've got a home that you could welcome people into, if you've got some time to lead a group, we'd love to hear from you. Welcoming, if you've got a heart for inviting people into the life of this community, we'd love to hear from you. Hospitality, if you've got a heart to help us grow as a community closer together, we'd love to hear from you when we start talking about that again next year. We say it every year, though, and I guess I want to say it again from up here. It's one thing for us to express a bunch of stuff that we've been working on that we'd like to do, and we can invite you into that, but at the same time, we want to say that we're a community that gives permission. We're a community that when God is working among us, when God is at work in the members of this body, we want to respond to that. We want to move and we want to go where God is leading. And so, again, this is putting it out there for you to be thinking and to be prayerfully engaging with some of this stuff. How might it look for you to engage in what God is leading us into in the year ahead? How might God be leading you to help us build our togetherness? How might you be being challenged to draw closer to this community in the year ahead? How might you be challenged to draw others in as well? How might God be wanting to use you to help us become a little bit more like that body of Christ that Julie was talking about, where everybody has a place? How might you be a part of seeing that happen in this community next year? How might God be leading you to grow in your faith and to bring others along with you? How might you be challenged next year not to remain stagnant? How might you be challenged next year to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? What might you need to be doing right now to get in a position where you're going to grow in the year ahead? It's the question we want to ask of you. And then finally, how might God be asking you to step out in faith and trust in the year ahead? How might God be asking you to join him in the work that he is doing in our world all around us right now? The stuff that Kate was talking about. How might God be sending you right now to serve him in your neighborhood, at your school, at your workplace, at your university? How might God be leading you and sending you into that space? How might you be opening yourself to that reality right now? We're saying, I guess, that at CB we want to be called together to grow and go. I feel a little bit like an advertising exec up here this morning. This is the pitch, but it's not a pitch for us. It is in the sense that it requires us not to buy in financially, but to buy in together as a body. And we are really looking forward as a leadership to the ways in which this will find expression and God will work in and through it in the year ahead. Shall we pray together? Gracious and loving God, we want to thank you so much for your church again this morning. Your church, not our church, Lord. We want to thank you that you are its life again this morning, that all of its movements are in your hands, that they are known by you. We want to thank you for the year that's passed, for the evidences of your goodness and your love, for your presence with us in hard times, for your joy as we've celebrated in different spaces and 125 years this year, Father. We are so grateful for that. And so we look to you again this morning for this which is your church, for its future, and we ask that you would continue that work in us together by your Spirit in shaping us to be a people who in this time and in this place have been brought together to bring glory to you. We ask that you would work that within each one of us for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of his name in this time. We ask these things in his name. Amen.